I was quiet for a moment, then said, "And she used it to kill herself."
"Sort of," Bob said.
"She chose which areas of your brain were going to take the worst beating. She took a psychic bullet for you. I guess it's almost the same thing as choosing to die."
"No, it isn't," I said quietly.
"She didn't choose to die. She chose to be free."
"Maybe that's why they call it free will," Bob said.
"Hey, tell me that at least you got a pony ride before the carnival left town. I mean, she could have made you see and feel anything at all, and—"
Bob paused and his eye lights blinked.
"Hey, Harry, are you crying?"
"No," I snapped and left the lab. The apartment felt very empty. I sat down with my guitar and tried to sort out my thoughts. It was hard. I was feeling all kinds of anger and confusion and sadness. I kept telling myself that it was the emotional fallout of Malvora's psychic assault, but it's one thing to repeat that to yourself over and over, and quite another to sit there feeling awful. I started playing beautifully. It wasn't perfect performance. A computer can do that. It wasn't a terribly complex bit of music. My fingers didn't suddenly regain their complete dexterity, but the music became alive. My hands moved with a surety and confidence I usually felt only in bursts a few seconds long. I played a second piece, and then a third, and every time my rhythm was on, and I found myself seeing and using new nuances, variations on chords that lent depth and color to the simple pieces I could play. Sweet sadness to the minor chords, power to the majors, stresses and resolutions I'd always heard in my head, but could never express in life. It was almost like someone had opened a door in my head, like they were helping me along. I heard a very, very faint whisper, like an echo of Lash's voice. "Everything I can, dear host." I played for a while longer before gently setting aside my guitar. Then I went to call Father Forthill and tell him to come over so that he could pick up the blackened denarius as soon as I dug it out of my basement. I picked up Thomas outside his apartment and tailed him as he crossed town. He took the L over toward the loop and hit the sidewalks again. He looked tense and paler than usual. He'd blown an awful lot of energy killing those ghouls, and I knew he'd have to feed, maybe dangerously, to recover what he'd lost. I'd called him the day after the battle and tried to talk to him, but he'd remained reticent, remote. I'd told him I was worried about him. After blowing that much energy, he'd hung up on me. He'd cut short two more calls since. So, being as how I am a smart and sensitive guy who respects his brother's feelings, I was tailing him to find out what the hell he was trying so hard not to talk to me about. This way, I was sparing him all the effort and trouble of telling me about it by finding out all on my own. Like I said, I'm sensitive, and thoughtful, and maybe a little stubborn. Thomas wasn't being very careful. I would have expected him to move around the city like a long-tailed cat at a rocking chair convention, but he sort of trudged along, fashionable in his dark slacks and loose, deep crimson shirt, his hands in his pockets, his hair hiding his face most of the time. Even so, he attracted more than a little feminine attention. He was like a walking, talking cologne commercial, except that even silent and standing, he was making women look over their shoulders at him while coyly rearranging their hair. He finally stalked into the park tower and went into a trendy little boutique slash coffee shop calling itself the Coiffure Cup. I checked a clock and thought about following him in. I could see a few people inside, where a coffee bar backed up to the front window. A couple of fairly pretty girls were getting things set up behind the counter, but I couldn't see any more than that. I found a spot where I could watch the door and loomed unobtrusively, which is easier than you'd think, even when you're as tall as I am. A couple of women, whose hair and nails screamed beautician, came in later. The boutique opened for business a few minutes after Thomas got there, and immediately began doing brisk trade. A lot of evidently wealthy, terribly attractive, generally young women started coming and going.